Gang, we all know Spotify is the best and most popular music streaming app. They have millions of songs by millions of artists available at your fingertips. But did you know that aside from millions of songs, Spotify also has thousands of podcasts? Yeah, all of your favorites are there, including Fresh Air, the Michelle Obama podcast, The Truth About Pam, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. They even have original podcasts like Stay Free, The Story of the Clash. It's actually narrated by Chuck D from Public Enemy. That's right. And How Did I Get Here is also on Spotify. So just go to Spotify.com or download the app from your app store. And don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here. That's Spotify. Millions of songs, thousands of podcasts. Folks, are you tired of people telling you your band is too loud when you're just trying to practice in your house or garage? Well, if you live in Austin, Texas, I have the solution for you. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. They have 31 spacious rooms, great PAs, and plenty of parking. And let me tell you something, that during this pandemic, they've taken some extreme safety measures. You bring your own microphones. There's a door to go in and a door to go out. There's safety practice. You don't linger in the hallways, all that stuff. Rent a room from them by calling them at 512-448-9518. That's 512-448-9518. Or go to spaceatx.com and start playing as loud as you want at Space Rehearsal and Recording. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week, whatever it is you did this week. However your week has gone, there was another atom bomb of insanity this week. The governor of Texas, I know you know this, decided that masks are not needed after next Wednesday. And I don't believe that. I'm going to keep on wearing my mask. I hope that you keep on wearing your mask. Things are opening up to 100%. People are hiring bands again. I totally understand. Hey, man, if that's your bag and you're going to go do that, man. But realize that what you're doing is undoing all of the work that we've been trying to do for the last year, right as we're nearing the finish line. Like a fucking moron. Okay? So continue to wear your mask. Continue to distance. Continue to be smart. Continue to listen to scientists and not self-serving human turds that run our country and our state. All right? Gang, I have a great big show for you guys today. I have two great conversations. I have The Los Sundowns, whose brand new self-titled EP is out now on Leche House Music. And The Los Sundowns is a collaboration between guitar player Beto Martinez from Grupo Fantasma, Brownout, and Money Chicha, who has been on the show a couple of times, and drummer Daniel Villarreal from Chicago-based band Dos Santos. Their album, their self-titled EP that's available now, The Los Sundowns, is absolutely fantastic. It has that psychedelic Latin soul vibe to it. It's cinematic. It takes you through a day. The whole EP takes you through from sunup to sundown, a whole day on an EP. Gorgeous stuff. They collaborate with some fellows on there, like our dear friend Alex Marrero and Alex Chavez. They have some guest vocalists. They have a couple of guests coming in and playing bass. Anyway, you can find the Los Sundowns self-titled EP now, wherever it is you stream and download your jams, or go to lechehousemusic.com because you can also find it on vinyl. So before I talk to Beto and Daniel from the Los Sundowns, I talked to Tex Chromosome Radio's Penny Joe Pulis. My dear old friend Penny Joe Pulis has a radio show at 8 a.m. Friday mornings on Co-op Radio here in Austin, 91.7 FM. Co-op Radio 91.7 here in Austin is celebrating International Women's Day with a week of women-centric programs starting today, March 5th through March 11th. The station will have a full slate of music and public programming crafted to honor women's achievements and advocating for a gender-equal world. Fantastic stuff, right? As I said, you can find Penny Joe Pulis's Tex Chromosome Radio at 8 a.m. Friday mornings on Co-op Radio 91.7. So before we talk to Beto and Daniel from The Los Sundowns, let's talk to my dear old friend, Penny Joe Pulis from Co-op Radio's Tex Chromosome Radio. Let's get down. Johnny Joe, you're the host of Text Chromosome Radio on KOOP.
Yes, 91.7 yeah. on the dial.
On the dial FM. Here in Austin. Yeah.
Yes.
And
KOOP.org, streaming on the web.
Yes, they can find all your stuff at the KOOP.org. Actually, all the links to stuff like your Twitters and your Instagrams and all that stuff. But Monday, March 8th, is International Women's Day. And KOOP has taken it upon themselves to make this a week-long celebration, which is awesome. And that will be going from the day that this comes out, Friday, March 5th, through March 11th. What was the impetus to make it go a week?
Actually, what it is the KOOP Community Council, we have a special events committee, and we choose several different events throughout the year to turn into a bigger event.
Okay.
Last year, we did Womanifest 2020, and it was the last day that clubs were open here in Austin. Pretty much. And we had this big International Women's Day celebration. And we actually did programming all for a whole week last year as well. Part of it is just to promote diversity in the station. We like to, of course, raise any voices that are marginalized. Women... Women's voices are not necessarily heard. And we also are trying to embrace an international feel for our community, as well as just the local. Yes, we do have this local community, but we're full of all different colors and sizes. And so what we're doing is just bringing together these different things that are important to us. So the diversity, working with the marginalized or unheard voices, lifting up female voices. So we're actually celebrating in a long version. We're celebrating all month long.
Okay.
Not just for the week. Yes, the programmers are doing special programming for a whole week, March 5th through the 11th.
Okay.
And it's all women's programming, but we're celebrating all month long. And we wanted to revisit those particular artists that were part of our International Women's Day celebration last year, which was a nonprofit networking music concert. So we are going back to the artists and revisiting with the artists.
Who are the
that
artists?
Were participating. We have Patricia Vaughn did Las Valentinas. Mm-hmm. We had Naga Valley did a mm-hmm. set of her Eastern soul music. We had Irish artist Siobhan O'Brien. Mm-hmm. And we have a Native American artist, Kay Miracle. And each week, Text Chromosome is also being featured on KOOP as we're having a check-in with each one of those female artists to see, you know, COVID made us all have to stop, drop, tuck, and roll, basically, and try to figure out how to get through or reinvent. Take something new on. So we're going back in to check in with the particular artists each week. And also on our Reflections of Community Outreach, we are in Austin Artists. We're checking in with some of the nonprofits, female-centric nonprofits that were involved last year as well, to just kind of see, you know, it's been a tough year for everybody. And, you know, what the nonprofits did differently or what they found that worked, you know. We all sort of went into this with the thought of doom and gloom, but we really rose above and we're coming back to, I think, you know, we're showing resiliency and how to really connect with the community. And part of that is celebrating those voices that are different.
Yeah, totally. So what is some of the other programming outside of the Text Chromosome Radio Hour?
Well, there's light Bringing Light into Darkness, which is an MPA program. There's Civil Rights and Wrongs, which is an MPA program.
And these will all be female-centric, women-centric.
Yes. Okay. Yes. They might not be, obviously, a female DJ. We don't have, you know, just female DJs, but they're all talking about women's issues. I think there's the sex ed show. She's talking about the clitoris. And let's see, we're talking to Austin artists. We have a special.
That's an interesting segue artist. There. They'll be talking about the clitoris, and then they'll be talking to some other Austin artists, clitoris artists.
Know, the sex ed show. We're going to be talking with, I haven't got... You know, I haven't got the qualification if it's really going to happen or not. But I'm supposed to interview Edie Brickell for Austin Artists. We're just everybody's trying to do women-centric things. I believe Love on the Dole is doing. I think she's doing all shoegazer female fronted bands. You know, everybody's cool. Making special playlists, which is fun. It builds community with us as a group inside the station, as well as I think trying to reach out to the community.
That's awesome. That's really, really great. And unfortunately, you won't be able to do one of those events like you were able to last year. Because there's not a lot of meet and greets and mixers happening anymore, but you'll obviously have all these on air interviews and stuff. Will you have some special performances and stuff?
We have, of course. You know, we were at 1-to-1 last year, so Kurt and Destiny and Greg took great care of us, and we actually have beautiful audio footage and video footage. We have cut it up to be able to program some of those live sets for each set. Each week, the artist that will be participating on the Text Chromosome show.
Yeah.
And then also checking in with Judge Sarah Eckhart was our MC last year, and now she's Senator Eckhart. So that'll be interesting to check in with her as well to see how her job has changed. And also, she really was the one that set the vehicle for how Austin put the coronavirus protection into action. Not just theory.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. Was that the lady that was hosting at the, or not hosting, but she spoke at that Beto thing I played that you had?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
She
was really cool.
She was Judge Eric Eckhart then, and now right. She's Senator Eckhart.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes. You know, big women's leaders, women from the community, different voices, all of those things, celebrating, women, us as women. And we hold the largest undocumented paid work in history,
right.
Right.
Can I ask you one question? Why is there an X in women?
That is for the, sensitivity to those who identify as female artists as the or females the X chromosome.
Okay,
that's just it's but, like a hip spelling.
Right, but they're doing that with like I got a guy I'm talking to afterwards that's a Latin musician and his is Latinx. Like there's an X in that one too.
Interesting. I wonder if it is it. Have something to do with female music?
Nope. It's just a bunch of dudes.
Oh. Well, I don't, I kind of like the idea of the spelling, but, obviously Text Chromosome has a great big, huge red X in it for the X chromosome, but it's some sort of different spelling that gives sensitivity to those that identify as females, I believe.
Okay. All right, so the station's going to have a full slate of music and public programming crafted to honor women's achievements and advocating for gender equality. For a gender equal world. Do you, Penny Jo, you've been in the slugging it out in the world for a few years. Do you feel like you've seen change in the women's movement or in the way that women are accepted?
Well, when I started, it was the 70s, the glorious 70s.
Right.
And it was very different. There weren't many women in rock bands, let alone, you know, playing guitar.
Right, right.
There was, of course, there was some, but, you know, it was a different, definitely a different world. You know, every girl and their sister and cousin plays the acoustic guitar now and writes songs and wants to be Jewel and, or whomever, you know, we didn't have the technology. We didn't have social media. I never sent an email till I was in my 30s, you know.
Right, right.
But I feel like things have changed because the industry has changed. You can do it on your own now. You don't have to wait for, you know, to be an overnight sensation or an undiscovered, you know, A&R Jewel or something like that. You can do it on your own. There's all these different ways in order to promote yourself and get your music out there and also make it at home.
Right.
Whereas we didn't have that.
But I mean women in general, like not just music women, but like women in general. Do you feel like there has been steps taken forward?
Well, yes, we have a female vice president and a female that is of color. You know, I think that's pretty amazing. Yeah, I mean, I feel like women used to be chastised for wanting to be independent or, you know, gals that had a career or didn't have families and did what was expected. Now it's sort of like, you want to do that? What?
Yeah.
You want to have a career?
Right.
What?
Right.
You want to stay home and have kids?
Right.
A lot
of women went to college at that point. At that point,
yeah,
like,
I think
sorry. They would go to college at that point to meet a guy, so that then mm-hmm. they could get married. So guys were doing it too.
Right.
But dudes used their education. Women a lot of times just ended up not because they didn't end up joining the workforce. But now it's a different scene.
Yes. And we, you know, women still don't have equal pay. We still don't have equal rights. You know, we just celebrated, you know, 100 years of
being able
voting.
To vote. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. All those things are awesome, but we still don't have equal pay. We still don't have, you know, there's still things that are very different. And yeah, we're two different sexes. We're very, very different, but our abilities should be paid for by our abilities, not by, you know, whether we have big muscles or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So yes, there is some change, but we still really have a long way to go.
As with everything, don't
positive,
we?
But I'm hoping to see lots more change by the time, you know, my little nieces grow old.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say by the time Jason's in diapers. once again, Co-op Radio, fantastic radio station here in Austin, 91.7, and they're celebrating International Women's Day with a week of women-centric programming starting today, Friday, March 5th through March 11th. And of course, International Women's Day is actually Monday, March 8th. Isn't that the day your show is on?
My show is on March 5th, Friday, 8 a.m.
Oh, so it's on today. Okay.
Yes.
Well, if you're listening to this when it first drops.
It started at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And today, our first interview with our artist is Friday, March 5th with K Miracle. And then Friday,
March 12th with Julia Malenta, and then March 19th with Nagavelli.
Yeah.
And then the 22nd with Patricia Vaughn. So, so all kinds of fun stuff, conversation stories with women, what was the good thing that came out of this? You know, we all know what the bad things were. What was the good thing, you know,
out of the COVID lockdown?
Yeah. Just, you know, in the year that has, you know, again, we had to all stop, drop, tuck and roll. And, you know, some of us are still rolling, trying to figure out what it is, how we're going to get through or reinvent or whatever. But everybody seems like they did pretty well.
Yeah.
Lots of creativity.
Yeah, you did pretty well. Started on the radio. You got your thing going on there at home. I've been on your show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you were on Austin Artists. It's one of the only ways I get to interview men sometimes is through Austin Artists or through Reflections of Community Outreach, where we talk with the different nonprofit groups and different community organizations around town. So that's kind of fun, too. Otherwise, I don't get to talk to the boys much. So it's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. Well, it's great having you on. It's great to see your face. You look lovely today. And
thank you.
The former kitchen looks lovely. And people tune in to Co-op Radio, K-O-O-P. You can find them at koop.org or on your radio dial if you live in Austin at 91.7. And on there, they can find, if someone tunes in the afternoon, the day that this comes out, and your interview already aired, they can find it in a podcast form on the station, right?
Well, no, they would go to Mixcloud. They could go to the website to any of the shows.
And there's a link to everything is what I'm saying. Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. So people just go to
We used to be on Radio Free America, but now it's Mixcloud.
Okay. But basically they can get to it by going to KOOP. Okay. And you can also donate there as Amplify Austin is coming up, and there's a lot of people trying to get get your money. Yeah, well, Penny Joe, thank you for doing the show. People can tune into the Tex Chromosome Radio Show with Penny Joe Poulos on 91.7. Find it in podcast form on there at koop.org. And tune in all week for women-centric programming. All right, Penny Joe.
All month,
that's right.
All month.
Sorry, they sent me a thing that said it was all week.
It's your monthly.
Thanks for doing the show, Penny.
Thank you, Johnny.
One more reason for you to worry, 'cause you got the best of me. You should never.
All right, that was Penny Joe Poulos. Don't forget, you can tune in to Co-op Radio from today, March 5th through March 11th, and get all women program, as the station is having a full slate of music and public programming crafted to honor women's achievements and advocating for a gender equal world. You can also find it at co-opradio.org. You can find Penny Joe Poulos' Tex Chromosome Radio Show, 8 a.m. Friday mornings on Co-op Radio 91.7. Always great talking to Penny Joe. Fantastic person, great musician, and has a great radio show. All right, let's talk to Beto Martinez and Daniel Villarreal from The Los Sundowns. Their brand new EP is out now. Wherever it is you stream and download your jams, find it at lechehousemusic.com. Fantastic EP. I love it. I can't even tell you. It's cinematic. It's gorgeous. These guys brought in some great special guests, and we have a great conversation about how they met, how they made this record before quarantine set in, and how they finished it after it set in, and a lot more. All right, so enjoy my conversation with Daniel Villarreal and Beto Martinez from The Los Sundowns. Let's get down. So one of the last people I had in here was Greg Gonzalez.
Oh yeah.
Like last year, and he was the first guy that when he came in, I went to put out my hand and he put out his elbow. I think it was like the very beginning of March or something last year.
Yeah, it was the transition.
Yeah. So, Danielle, you're in Chicago?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm here in Chicago, and then the weather has been better. You know, we got a lot of snow finally melt down this weekend, but I'm out here.
Yeah. Okay, so the Los Sundowns EP is fucking awesome, man. I love it.
Thank you.
I really do, man. It's got so much vibe. So you guys were able to get together and do this in January of 2020?
Yeah.
Right.
Right before the pandemic, me and Beto, we were talking about it the year prior. And it's like, oh, let's start a year and let's meet and let's write together some stuff to see what we can develop with these ideas that we had. Then I flew out to Texas. And I spent a week out there at Beto's place. Beto has his studio out in Buda, Texas, and in Austin. And he hosts me out there at the Leche House Studios, and we started on, I think it was like January 7 or 10 or the mid-January, right?
Yeah, it was early mid-January. Luckily, we were like just starting to really catch wind of the whole virus thing, you know, so nothing was shut down yet or anything. We weren't worried about it.
Right. I know that when you did it, you weren't planning on not being able to go out and play shows, but were you planning on doing a whole, like, was this like when you got together to make these songs back in January of 2020, was there we're going to do some stuff with this, like hit the road, maybe play Chicago and Texas or something?
Yeah, that was the plan. You know, Danielle and I sort of had come up with the idea on the road with Money Chicha and his band, Dos Santos. You know, we just started talking about like, man, it'd be cool to have a project in this vein. And our reference point was always Los Angeles Negros, which is a band from Chile from the 60s, you know, real kind of ballady, kind of bolero-y, but still like a rock and roll rhythm section, but doing these like kind of slow jams, you know?
Right.
So that was the idea. And the idea was for a band. It wasn't, I mean, ultimately to make a record as well, but it was like, let's have a project where we play and we do some shows. We made this record, he split back to Chicago, or we did the recording session, he split back to Chicago. And I mean, to tell you how unprepared we were for what ended up happening, we didn't even take pictures together, really. And then when we started this process of putting the record out, we were like, dude, we don't have any pictures together. Like, because we thought that he'd be back, you know what I mean?
We
thought it was going to go this way. And the idea in my head was to have a show like a release show in Austin, a release show in Chicago. And then ultimately, yeah, maybe like a little tour. We hadn't really gotten that far with it, but that was the main idea, you know?
Yeah. So a couple of the song Al Final de la Tarde is a song that was written by somebody else. What about Quiereme, the song that Alex sings on? Marrero.
Yeah, so that one was written by Alex Marrero, myself, and Greg Gonzalez. We had a little project. We haven't been able to get together, obviously, in a long time, but we had this weekly thing, or we tried to make it weekly, where we'd get together and just record a song. That was a goal, to knock out a track in one day based on a theme, with the intention behind it was library music for published or for license opportunities.
Right.
Yeah. So that's where that song came from. The theme was like Chicano soul. And that's why those lyrics, you know, are kind of simple, but we thought really just fit the vibe of that. And in the process of mixing and putting this record together, I came upon that track again and I sent it to Danielle and I was like, man, I think like this kind of falls in this vibe. We can remix it a bit and make it fit sonically more, but I think it worked.
Yeah, it did work. We kind of like strip it down. The original track had a lot of timbales, percussion. Like it wasn't like more like a, not like a salsa track, but it had like a very Latin heavy, you know. But right. Then we were like, oh, we don't have anything like that in the EP. Like, let's strip it down, and we remove those elements, and we use, like Beto said, we remix it like to fit the vibe of the rest of the songs that we were making.
When you guys went in and recorded the stuff that you recorded before you went back to Chicago, how much were you guys able to get done?
We had drum tracks, probably like, I would say 50, more than 50%, because we had drums, bass, guitar, and some keyboards. But then Beto was able to play the other instruments. I was able to do all the drums and tracking with some auxiliary percussion. But then it was almost done. We just like needed like a few things, and then we call the, I would say like 70% of the album probably, like we had it done already before we call in like the guest musicians, right, Beto?
Yeah, it was mostly there. I mean, the whole tracking process was actually kind of interesting. We'd never done it like this because it was only the two of us. So we would track, and we were going to tape on the 388.
Right.
So we'd track with me sitting in front of the machine, either on bass or guitar, and then Daniel on drums. And that's all it was. So we kind of like were just sort of going through the form and had to sort of imagine everything else happening and still try to give it a vibe, you know, to get a performance out of it. So it was a little challenging, but then while he was here, we started to do some of the overdubs, like some of the percussion stuff, like just like tambourine and stuff like that. And I started to put down guitars where there weren't guitars. And then keys also. But then obviously after he left, then the vocals, well, for the Al Final track, were recorded actually in Chicago by our good friend and then
Daniel's bandmate.
Yeah, Alex Chavez. I was going to say, because I, never mind, that's an aside. But yes, they were recorded by Daniel, not by Daniel, by Alex Chavez in Chicago, recorded by Doug Malone at a studio there in Chicago. And then we had a couple of other people like Peter Stopchinski put Farfisa Organ down on one track. So, but yeah, most of it was done in that week.
And we got Fermin from Mexico City. He did some Us and As in Los Angeles, Angeles track.
Oh, yeah. Fermin Sanchez.
Yeah, Fermin Sanchez. He plays in like a very well-known band out there in Mexico called the Guadalupes. Mm-hmm. And then Beto introduced us. He brought it to me like, oh, you should check this guy. Like, he's very good. And he's been like in touch trying to collaborate from distance, you know, like do something like, okay, let's send him the track to see what he can do. And then he sent us like a full version that he sings the whole song. But because we were like, you know, like, I don't know, like the vibe that we wanted to capture, something with the hooks of the oohs and the ahs, that was all that it really like we wanted at that point. We worked out.
Yeah. With having these guest singers come on this stuff, how would that work if you guys took this out on the road?
So this is something that I've thought about, and we would have to find someone. And, you know, we didn't get that far into sort of thinking about taking it on the road. Yeah, we have like a few people in mind, friends here and there. And obviously, I mean, I would love to have someone like Alex Chavez out there if we did it, because he's versatile and he's also a multi-instrumentalist, you know, can play guitar, can play keys. But we would need somebody. I mean, I sort of started to sing a little bit over the pandemic out of necessity on my own demos and little tracks that I was doing, and sort of found a confidence, but in a limited capacity. So I definitely couldn't take any of these leads or anything like that. And yeah, we would have to get someone else.
Yeah. Were you, it must have been interesting just recording with the two of you guys, like laying down those basic tracks, you know, and being able to play off each other. There's a definite, like, there's such a strong vibe, and your feel, Danielle, is unbelievable, man.
Thank you, man.
That shit
Thank
feels
you.
Good.
Yeah, it was does. Funny. If I, thank you so much. Yeah, Johnny, like, it's funny because, just to tell you a little bit of the inside of the things, like, I was the only one listening to the metronome in my phone.
Okay.
Then I was kind of like, you know, like plugged it in, and Betty's like, well, we have to log into something, but, you know, everything's rolling live on tape. It's just like, we're trying to do it analog. Then, of course, he can run a click track through Pro Tools or another digital thing, but it's just like, let's make us as organic as we can. And some of the track that it needed, like, we were pulling and pushing, you know, because the rhythm feels differently for different people. But it's like, I want to throw a click on myself, and then I'm the only one listening to it. Then we just trust each other pretty much blindly and just kind of like, let's play.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, because what you guys are doing musically and what you do in your other bands as well is so organic that it almost seems like if it lived on the grid, it might kill what it feels like. Does that make sense?
Yep. It does make a lot of sense. I think like the natural breathing of a rhythm is never the same. And if you make a two on the click, it loses the natural way that might be. It gets too robotic.
Yeah.
Then having something organic like that's the main purpose of the approach. And then I think that we were able to accomplish that through our process, and getting away from all the technology and click track world and trying to map out things and on the grid, like you said, no, let's lay back and just pay attention to the music, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole process of just giving the drummer the click too, I have found that, like, I often suggest that to bands that I have in the studio where they're having some trouble. And then if you get everybody on the click, everybody becomes so focused on it. I mean, you have to have a certain level of internal time, right, to be able to do it that way.
Right.
Or it goes totally off the rails. But yeah, I found that to be a viable solution. Like, let's just give the drummer the click, and then everybody else plays to the drummer. Exactly. So you're not just focused on that click, you know. But yeah, we did that, just the two of us.
Yeah, I know. On all the tracks, some of the tracks that we were kind of like, it's just Beto playing bass and drums, and you can imagine it's like, oh, the changes are not as predictable, and that's the reason that we use the click. But some of the tracks we didn't. Some other tracks we just played like the way that we felt it.
Yeah, well, it definitely shows. I mean, in the best way possible, not like it's all over the place or something.
Yeah, I'm out of time, man. I imagine.
So, Danielle, when you DJ, what kind of stuff do you DJ? Is it more Latin-based music or?
Oh, a little bit of everything. I'm a lot into Nigerian like music. I like the disco from African descendants. Like, I find out like there's a lot of music, like African music, that is like almost similar to what was going on here in the US, like back in the 70s and 80s. Then you can find like these amazing bands that they sound like James Brown, and they're
right,
African.
Right.
They sound like Stevie Wonder, and they're like super like crazy like pop songs and things like that. And you know, like William Oniver, like Fela Kuti, and all those classics that a lot of DJs do. I try to play those, but also like I try to dig deeper, like Lijado Sister, and then you know, like other around that same vein. But that's kind of like my vibe. But also like I do like a lot of like salsa, like boogaloo, like a funny all-star catalog, like everything that comes out of like Hector Lavoe, Willie Colon, like Celia Cruz, like, you know, like all the classics. And then I do like also some like instrumental stuff, like just bare bone, like jazz tracks, you know, like I listen to jazz music, and then sometimes I sneak it in there. But I like a little bit of everything as far as it's good and feels good. But world music, funk, kind of like 70s vibe, that's kind of the stuff that I DJ.
I imagine that it's an incredible rhythmic education then for you.
It is. I learn a lot. Yeah, I learn a lot just listening to music. I'm born and raised in Panama. Then my father is an organ player when I was growing up. Then I grew up around music, and he let me play his records when I was little. And I remember putting the needle there and just waiting patiently track to track. And I you know, you couldn't scratch the record. You just had to be patient. And then he showed me how to operate the record player since I was like 5 years old. Then that thing like is on me like since I was a little kid. Then, yeah, my dad listened to folkloric music from Panama, salsa music, and a lot of European music. Like, he listened to, like Spaniard music and South American tango. Then he was kind of like a versatile keyboard player, like potpourri, they call it back in the day. Uh-huh. I don't know if that's a word in English. But it's just like a mix of all kinds of things. And it was also like a one-man show. Just make all these things.
That's awesome. So when you started, did you start playing drums in bands down there? Like, what kind of music were you playing? Were you playing rock? Or
yeah, I started playing punk rock music. I didn't pick up drums until I was late. It was like maybe 17, 18 years old. I bought my first drum set. When I was little, I got into piano, but I think like because my father already was playing the piano, I didn't took any interest like to continue.
Right.
But that was on me when I was like before 10 years old, like, you know, play a little song like Condor Pasa, no, you know, like a little Latin like standards. And then I didn't touch music until like 17, 18. It's like I want to be a drummer, and I start playing punk rock music, and right away this band I played out in Panama became popular, and we went on tour right away, like after playing drum for 6 months. Like, I just knew like 4 different beats, and just like, I think that's all I needed to know to play punk rock. You know?
That's and awesome. What kind of places were you playing when you went on tour? Were you playing like...
Like, we went to Costa Rica and old Panama City, just like super dive bars, like, you know, DIY places, like basements and like somebody's patio, and then like this like dive bar that how hosts like punk rock bands. But we draw from like, you know, like from Sex Pistols and a little bit of a newer stuff like Rancid and right. Like NoFX, like, you know, like it was all like, and then I got into ska and hardcore music, and it was a rock. I was a rock drummer. Then I didn't start playing Latin music until I moved to the US.
And how did you end up in Chicago? Like, what?
Well, in 2000, my wife back then, we met down in Panama, and then we relocated over here. Her family was from the Midwest, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And then we were expecting our first child, and then my first daughter, and then we located in Chicago, and that's how I move over here, and I keep pursuing music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. How old is your daughter now?
I have 2 daughters. They're 16 and 18.
Do they play?
Yeah, they do play. They live in the West Coast out in San Diego, and they do play. They both violinists, and one plays trombone, and the other ones play a saxophone.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Beto, you have kids, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I also have 2 daughters. They're twins. Yeah, they're in 6th grade, and they actually both play flute.
Wow. Do you get them to play on stuff?
No, not yet. They're like beginners, just learning, you know. Yeah, they're just learning right now. But yeah, they both decided they wanted to do flute. I had tried to teach them guitar as of like a couple of years back, but you know, when your parents try to teach you something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they weren't receptive.
That's how Danielle ended up on the drums, man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How have you been holding up, Beto, throughout this whole thing, the last year?
Man, yeah, I guess it's been a little journey. You know, there was the initial, I've like reflected on this a little bit and just how it's, you go through these phases or stages when you feel like the next one is going to be us moving past this, but then it just keeps going and going. So sort of evolves into something else. But yeah, you know, after I got over the freak out of losing all the gigs and all of that, almost exactly a year ago now, and I started to kind of get myself together, I really sort of delved into making music again by myself here. And I did this like little series where I was posting songs online. I'd call it the 2 minute song series.
Yeah.
So I was like tracking songs, playing drums, singing, which are both things that I had never done really, like, that I had never committed to tape, you know, or anything like that. So that was like a good month. I think I did like 12 songs and I posted those, and it really kind of got me out of the funk of like the, just the whole freak out of losing everything. You know what I mean? So, and it got me creative again. But you know, after that month or two or whatever, kind of went into the summer, and then the whole pandemic was still going on. We were still without gigs. So I sort of evolved from there. I took those songs down, but then started kind of working on the idea of turning Leche House, which is my studio, into more of a record label situation. And I reached out to a distributor. Well, I reached out to several labels and pitched our record, Sundowns, and then some of those songs that I recorded. Ended up talking to Fat Beats, who's put out the last couple Brownout records, and they were interested in putting out records from the studio here, with the first one being the Sundowns, and just sort of started focusing on getting that together and all the sort of business aspect of that, and started making some merch. And
I love the 388 shirts.
That's cool. That's great. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That machine is so hard to find that now. It's just like unbelievable how it became so popular. It's not available, you know?
Yeah. We actually, Beto and I have this conversation every time we talk, but I had one and I sold it, and I found it a couple of years ago. I ran into the dude I had sold it to, and he said, "Oh, if you want to buy it back." So I bought it back, but it was destroyed.
Oh man.
Like it had just been left in like one of those non-air where they don't have temperature control.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
one of those outside
like a deposit,
storage places. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. How do you get tape and stuff for it now?
I bought a batch. The last batch that I bought was just off of Reverb, just searching for quarter inch tape, and people sell it. It's like new old stock or whatever. And I reuse it a lot, you know what I mean? So I don't go through that much. But I've got a good stock right now.
Do you know how to work on that machine, or do you have a guy that you can, cause I imagine that would also be a thing during the pandemic. That would be a constant fear of like, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's old.
Yeah, it is. So actually I have to get it worked on right now because something finally happened. I've had a great run with it. I think 7 years now that it's been running smooth. I mean, some earlier on, like a few months ago, I did like a weird noise started happening, and I looked it up and I talked to my repair guy, and I actually was able to just oil some stuff and get it running good again. And I did like a whole demag and all this stuff. And I actually have a Tascam. It's right here next to me. It's a M312B, which is like the 12 channel, just the mixer version of the 388. That's my backup that I just have there just in case. Cause after a few years of this, I was like, man, if this breaks, I'm like out of the water, you know, like, but I had a session last week and the transport messed up. So the tape section is not working right now, but I got a guy coming to look at it at the end of the week.
But you still run the stuff through the board because of the sweep preamps, right?
Yes, exactly. I still use it as like my console in here. And I have some outboard gear too, but yeah, man, the 388 is...
It's the centerpiece of the studio.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as mixing the record, you then take those and you transfer it to Pro Tools, right?
Yeah, actually Logic, but but yeah, I go digital and then do some overdubs there if necessary, do some mixing there. And I don't think I did for this one, but sometimes I'll even drop those mixes back onto the machine here. And then do like a live mix and mix that down to tape one more time.
And does that warm it up significantly?
It does. It tames a lot of the high end and
yeah.
It just kind of pulls it together, you know?
And you can kind of like, there's like a whatever the saturation that happens of the natural compression. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Are people trying there's obviously plugins that do that, right? At this point?
Yeah, there are.
Have you heard of them?
Yeah, there's actually one that I use from UA because I have an Apollo 16. That's my converter, the Universal Audio. Mm-hmm. And they make their own plugins that right now are like some of the like best plugins out there. And there's one that I use. That's not even the most expensive tape one that they have. And I'm just blanking on what it's called, but yeah, it's like a little tape machine is what it looks like.
Right.
And you just like use it as an insert and it's got like the input and you can crank the input and it'll give you like some nice saturation, you know?
Have you A-B'd the things and kind of like tried to figure out?
Man, I not specifically, but you know, just through listening here and there. I mean, yeah, but there's something particular about this 388, man. It's an interesting machine. It definitely has its sound, you know. We did that whole Brownout record on it, and that record, every time I hear it, it like stands out to me.
Yeah.
It just sounds so different from most of the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and you guys put this EP out on vinyl. That's available through Fat Cat?
Fat Beats,
sorry.
Yeah. They actually pulled out some more stock. It had been sold out and I don't know, they got some more stock. And then I have like a handful left that I'm selling through the Lecha House Bandcamp store.
Uh-huh.
I think that Daniel might have a few that he's just kind of personally.
Yeah, I have like maybe like 15 left around or something like that.
That, man, that's awesome because, you know, having a new, I mean, obviously you both have audiences of your own, right? For things, but it seems like it would be daunting to put out a new musical project without any real sort of way of selling it outside of doing something like this. You know what I mean? A traditional way on a stage playing music in front of people.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that I thought about a lot here when I started to get the idea of like, okay, well, maybe I could be like a small independent record label because I signed that deal with Fat Beats, which is a distribution deal.
Right.
And I called some people that I know that are doing it. You know, my friend Alan Evans, who's a drummer for Soul Live and some other projects. He has a studio up in the Northeast. And I had been like, I follow him on Instagram and seen him selling records and it seemed to be going well. So I called him and talked to him. I was like, man, just, you know, give me some tips. Tell me what I need to know and talk to a few other people too. But I was really scared because I didn't have that outlet. Like I knew that if I was playing shows, I could sell a bunch of records at shows, you know, right. Like at least a few every night. But I ended up ultimately thinking like, man, I think I can do this. The key was jumping on the social media thing. And I, like, obviously we've been doing social media for a long time now. I don't particularly love it as a promotional tool, but I've had to delve in there. Daniel has been a big help because he knows how to do like Instagram way better than I do. But I think that's what it came down to, was just really trying to promote there and get people engaged. But it becomes almost like a full-time job. But at the same time, it's not like we're gigging or anything. So
right,
kind of got the time to do it, you know, but it seems to have worked. You know, we sold a lot of these records quick.
Yeah. So is the plan for Let Your House Records then for like you'll make records for people and release them on your thing, almost like a Motown kind of?
Ultimately, yes. I think right now it's like projects that I've initiated collaborations. Like going into 2020, obviously we had this project, but I had reached out to a few other people and had already started working on other collaborations as well. And those are next in the pipeline. There's some at different stages of completion. And once those are done, yeah, I'm going to start getting them in queue for manufacture and then start the process again. And we're going to work on another one too for Sundown. So
good. Please do, man. This is, you know, this family of musicians that not just ours, but what I consider the Grupo Fantasma, like immediate family, just nothing but such great fucking music coming out of you guys all the time. And it's all just so, I can't tell you how happy I am that you're part of this community. And Danielle, it's nice to meet you and to hear this. This record's fucking great. And you can hear a lot of this shit like in movies and, you know, in, because it has so much vibe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're hoping that's where it ends up. Yeah. And thank you, Johnny. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah,
that's,
man,
like very kind of you to say, man. And we really appreciate it.
I've yet to have one of you cats come over here with some music that I was like, oh God. You know what I mean? Ever. So, and it's just always like, it blows me away. So the arc of the EP, it's like a day, right?
Yeah, that's the way I started thinking about it. That's the way we sort of talked about it.
Yeah, the arc.
The arc. Yeah.
Yeah, it is like sunrise to sunset type of vibe.
Yeah, and it does feel like very beachy too. It has a nice summer vibe to it. So maybe people start getting into it, put it on their summer playlist. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that picture of the record, I took that picture when I was out visiting my daughters down in Ocean Beach, San Diego, California. Then I took that. That's a like unfiltered, like that's a real picture just from my phone, like unfiltered, like with the of the sunset at the beach, at the ocean.
You know, when it's beautiful, it doesn't need a filter, does it?
Right?
Yeah.
Like that was the weird thing. Like a lot of people ask me like, oh, that picture filter? Like, no, like that was like the prisma of the sun rays coming into the bouncing out of the lens of the iPhone.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
it was funny.
Creating its own magic.
Exactly.
So people can find you guys by going to Let Your House Music, and there's links to all your socials there. There's the store there where you can get the shirts. You can get the vinyl album. It's available wherever you stream and download your music. I'll put a link to Dos Santos as well. I listened to some of that today. It's really good, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Dos Santos, we're holding the flag over here in the Midwest with the psychedelic Latin stuff, cumbia, and also rock. It's just a crossover of all kinds of things. That record, the latest record, Logos, all the horn sections was a majority of done by Antibalas.
Oh, then, really?
You listen to it. It has a little bit of everything. That was recorded also, like, mostly live out here through the record label International Anthem. They have artists like Micaiah McCraven, Jeff Parker. And then, it's just like it's a different vibe. But we're also working in releasing a new album coming up this fall under International Anthem again. And Dos Santos has just also been working their own thing as well for this year.
That's fantastic, man. Well, I wish you guys luck, and I can't wait to hear what else you make. And people can find you guys at letyourhousemusic.com. Also, I went through your gear at the studio. I'm pointing at you with my pen, but you can't even see it. That drum set is fucking wicked.
Oh, thanks,
it's a 68
man.
Ludwig.
Yeah, it is. It actually belonged to Wayne Saltzman, who plays with Bob Schneider. And yeah, it turns out he's not like my neighbor, but he lives in Buda. And yeah, he ended up coming over here and doing some sessions, and I ended up buying the kit off him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the same year I was born. So that thing's as old as me.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice set. That's the same one that we use for the Sundowns recording.
I imagined when I saw it, I was like, there's no way you didn't use this. Like that kit, it's almost like it's the kit for this band. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for doing the show. Beto, it's good to see you again, man.
Yeah, it's good to see you too, man.
Yeah, man. I wish you guys all the best. Really nice to meet you, Daniel. And I look forward to more music, and I look forward to seeing you sometime in person again.
That would be
great. Yes. Hopefully we could all get together sometime soon, man. Thank you for having us, John.
Yeah, no problem, man. Take care, guys.
Oh, yeah, take care. Bye.
All right. Beto Martinez and Daniel Villarreal from The Los Sundowns. Their brand new EP is available now wherever it is you stream and download your jams. Go to LecheHouseMusic.com for merchandise and also vinyl. What a great conversation, man. Those guys are super cool. I always love talking to Beto. I love every musical thing all of those guys do. Everything they've done, I love. That's so awesome. It's so awesome to have that family of music here and branching out into Chicago and doing all of these different collaborations. The Black Pumas, the Los Sundowns, ¿Qué pasa, chico? ¿Qué pasa, USA? It's all going down. Go to LecheHouseMusic.com for all of your The Los Sundowns needs, all right? And don't forget to tune in to Co-op Radio 91.7 here in Austin as they will be celebrating International Women's Day with a week of women-centric programming, today, March 5th through March 11th, all right? And gang, don't forget when you're out there checking out Co-op Radio or when you're out there checking out Leche House Music, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you get podcasts. Where do you get them? You get them on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, everywhere, man. New shows all the time. It's raining shows. All right, let's listen to the rest of this song from the Los Sundowns. Let's get down.